On August 14th, the Committee on Classification and Nomenclature released this year's supplement to the American Ornithological Society's official checklist of North American birds. Like all scientists, taxonomists are constantly asking new questions, learning new things, and developing new tools to discover even more new things. In the decades since I was in college, there's been an explosion in our ability to analyze DNA. But I've never had the time or inclination to delve into it, so I have only a rudimentary handle on genetics and genomics. For several years, my daughter worked at the genomics lab at NYU, and even if I will never be able to explain the research projects she worked on, which weren't related to taxonomy, I have a powerful appreciation for the painstaking work involved in any modern DNA, genomics, or taxonomic research. When two or more forms within a species are raised to full species status, or split, those of us who have seen both forms get a freebie, an armchair lifer. And when biologists determine that what had been considered two species is really just a single species, or lumped, those of us who have seen both lose a lifer. So traditionally, every summer when the checklist revisions are announced, birders celebrate the splits and mourn the lumps. I learned about lumping and splitting when I first started birding in 1975. Just 2 years before, the Audubon's and Myrtle warblers had been lumped into what is now the yellow-rumped warbler. So we were told in our ornithology class to write the changes into our field guide. Several years ago, a prominent taxonomist told me that the species was definitely going to be split again into two, three, or even four species, but the painstaking research to work out all the relationships takes time. The taxonomists making determinations about lumping and splitting base their decisions on what scientists understand at the moment, doing their best to keep emotions and the implications for their own life lists out of it. In 1983, based on the PhD research of Jim Rising, the taxonomy committee lumped the Baltimore and Bullock's Orioles because they interbreed in the Great Plains. Jim Rising himself was on the committee when it voted in 1998 to split the northern oriole back into the two original species. Newer studies showed that the hybrids didn't survive long and virtually never managed to breed. Jim made the correct decision both times. This year, taxonomists didn't lump any species, so birders can't complain of being robbed of lifers. One new split gives a freebie to just about every birder who's birded in both the eastern and western United States. What was the warbling vireo has been split into the eastern warbling vireo and the western warbling vireo. I learned the song of the eastern one on June 16, 1975, on my very first outing in my ornithology class. My instructor pointed out what I think of as the skeezy quality and the emphatic but abrupt ending. I sort of learned the Western's counterpart song when I took the Cornell Lab's field recording class in the Sierra Nevadas in 2001, where we saw warbling vireos almost every day. Someone pointed out that the two forms might one day be split, so I tried to key in on the differences. The Western song has a burrier quality and is more disjointed, not so rapid and jumbled, and doesn't end as often with an emphasized up note. But in either case, a string of songs by the same bird is pretty variable, so I wouldn't feel comfortable identifying one on the basis of just a couple of songs. I'd want to hear a long singing bout. The one element of this name change I do not like is the hyphen the committee stuck between warbling and vireo. The two species remain in the same genus as our other vireos, so there isn't any taxonomic basis for the hyphen. Yet now these two species will be indexed in the literature under W rather than V. Another split that gave me an armchair lifer won't affect birders who stick to the United States. The squirrel cuckoo has been split into the Mexican squirrel cuckoo, which I saw on several field trips when the American Ornithologists Union met in Mexico in 2006, and the common squirrel cuckoo, which I've seen many times in Central and South America. And again, the committee stuck in an unnecessary hyphen that will make a search of this species in the literature trickier. It will be indexed under S rather than C, but in this case, at least the species are in a different genus than all the other cuckoos. Another split changes one of my favorite birds' names, but doesn't add any new species for me. The bird we've known as the white tern is now three different species. The only one I've ever seen, found in Hawaii, is now the blue-billed white tern. As with the warbling vireo and squirrel cuckoo, the committee added a hyphen to the tern's name. Annoying and frustrating as that may be, in this case, the white terns are in a different subfamily from all the other terns. It'll still be annoying when I want to look them up in a book's index. They'll be under W rather than T, but at least there's a bit of a taxonomic basis for that stupid hyphen. Hyphenations or not, I love how scientists keep questioning and learning new things, keeping an old lady like me on their toes. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.